to On Tour with Sport 24. I'm Emma Saunders, and this is your guide to the world's most iconic sporting cities. Each episode, we'll be heading to a different part of the world to give you an inside view into what makes it a sporting city. We're going to find out what the locals recommend to get a real flavour of its sports and culture, and what you should experience when you come to visit. It's what Sport 24 is all about, a sports channel that connects onboard passengers to those unmissable live sporting moments. So, whether you're flying at 35,000 feet or relaxing on your ocean cruise, you can be watching the game live. Sounds like the only way to travel. So buckle up and sit back. You're listening to On Tour with Sport 24.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Sport 24, we'd like to welcome you to Madrid.
Yes, so for this episode, we've landed in the stunning capital of Spain, Madrid. And joining me for this leg of our journey is our travel TikToker extraordinaire, Rob Adcock. Hello.
How the devil are you?
Or should
good?
I say hola? Hi. ¿Cómo estás?
Ah, CCC.
My Spanish ends there, so hopefully yours doesn't go much further either.
I can order a beer, a coffee. And that's pretty much about it.
All of life's essentials. Enough to get you by in Madrid, I'm sure, for the weekend anyway. Now, you have a reputation for travelling on a bit of a budget. And I imagine with the regularity, the access to flights from the UK to Madrid, is that somewhere that you've been before and you've adventured to?
I've probably been 7 or 8 times.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think, right, this is a big claim this early on, but I think it might be one of my favourite cities in Europe.
That's a big statement.
It is such an amazing place.
What is it about Madrid? What first comes to mind?
I think it's because, you know, when you get to some cities, you could be pretty much, you know that you're in Europe. Whereas when you get to Madrid, you feel like you could be anywhere in the world. It doesn't look like, you go to some cities like, oh, it reminds me of this or it reminds me of that. Whereas we go to Madrid and it feels like you are in properly authentic Spain. And when you get there, it's just, obviously, this podcast 9 times out of 10 comes back to food. But the food in Madrid is just one of those things where you just walk around, you just go, this is just amazing. It feels like every time you walk down a different street, it's like something you've never seen before, like the architecture and all that kind of stuff. It is just so good. But the football there in particular, there's so many matches that you can go to, and that's what just makes it brilliant. We went a couple of weeks ago and we managed to get to like 5 matches over the weekend, and it was just brilliant. And
just so, domestically, 5 matches.
Yeah.
That sounds like an international tournament.
And I don't want to ruin it, but I think it might be home to my favourite stadium that I have ever been to.
Oh, wow.
Ever.
Okay.
Ever.
Well, we're going to get into that shortly. You have mentioned the football there, but what else does Madrid have to offer? You have touched on the food a couple of times already, but what really stands out?
I think for me, it's just one of those places where you can go and it's a comfortable city to live in and comfortable city to visit. You don't feel that you need to be planning loads of things. You know, sometimes you go away and you think, right, I want to go to this place in the morning, I want to go to this place in the afternoon and go to all the different areas. The transport is the best thing about it because you can get so easily around the city. It's just you can be in the north of Madrid and then a few stops later you can be somewhere completely different, and that's
what kind of
about
transport
it.
do you
metro is a big one.
Okay.
that's the really easy one, and it can take you pretty much everywhere, and it's just whenever you get off at a different stop it feels like you're somewhere completely different, and you've got those like big city vibes, like as if you're in the center of New York, but then you've also got those, it feels like it's like a family-owned restaurant like 2 minutes away. It's just brilliant.
So you can kind of just meander through, not necessarily with a plan, but still pack a lot into a day.
Exactly that.
Well, Rob, it sounds like you know the city very well, having been there 7 or 8 times, but we couldn't do this episode without someone who knows the city like the back of their hand. And we found just the person, that sports presenter and broadcaster, Semra Hunter. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Hello, how are we?
We're really well, thank you. And we really, really appreciate your time because, as I've mentioned there, you know this city very well, don't you? And actually, some of our listeners might be familiar with your voice, particularly if they're Spanish football fans. But for anyone that isn't, just explain who you are.
Sure. So yes, I lived in Madrid for 3.5 years, but now I work as a presenter for La Liga Santander, which is the Spanish football league. And I cover all of their games and work for them in an exclusive way within Spain. And what we do is have a channel called La Liga TV, which is the official channel of the league, and it's broadcast all over the world. So we provide you all the English language coverage that you could ever want about Spanish football.
So La Liga TV, there's a whole host of different clubs there that you'll be covering, but you have a special connection, don't you, with Real Madrid?
That I do. As I mentioned, I was living in the Spanish capital for 3.5 years. And while I was there, I was working for the club, for Real Madrid. And they have their own exclusive channel as well called Real Madrid TV. Very creative, the name, of course. And they have a channel in Spanish as well as in English, which is broadcast internationally. And I was working for them on both sides. So I was presenting and reporting and producing and writing and doing everything possible short of just camera work, pretty much. And doing it in both English and Spanish. So I was there for quite a while, and it was a great experience learning the trade and getting to work day in, day out with the footballers at the club and the manager, and being part of what is considered for many the most historically successful club in world football.
Out to Zidane, a moment of magic from Zinedine Zidane.
The Champions League trophy's heading back to Madrid, back to its spiritual home. The champions of Spain are the champions of Europe. It's 14 and counting for Real Madrid.
Now, football is the national sport of Spain, and Real Madrid are one of not just Spain's, but one of the world's biggest football clubs, a record 14-time champions of Europe. And Semra, just to come back to something that you've said already, you don't necessarily have to be a football fan to get excited about the football in Madrid, do you? I had hairs on the back of my neck just listening to that. I imagine just your average person in Madrid probably feels quite passionate about the football scene and Real Madrid.
Yes, unless you're an Atletico Madrid fan, I would say. But yes, in general, people do very much love Real Madrid and football. Football is a way of life. And actually, a recent survey showed that 1 in 3 people in Spain are actually Real Madrid fans. And they have one of the biggest followings on the planet. They estimate that they have 500 million people around the world who are fans of Real Madrid. So there is definitely a sense of them being one of the most important brands, as well as football clubs, within the city and within the Spain, because they represent the nation abroad. And it is absolutely everywhere you look, reminders about how the importance of football and just the importance of Real Madrid and what it also means to the local sort of footballing scene. But yeah, I think anywhere you go, you kind of get sucked into it, whether you're a football fan or not, because people are always talking about football. It's always on the TV screens. And like I say, there's reminders all over the city, everywhere you go. Somehow something is dedicated to the history of football within the Spanish capital. So it's, you get sucked into it. It's a lot of fun. And people are so very passionate about it as well that it's really kind of hard to avoid it. So you have almost no other choice but to really experience it. And I think even if you're not a football fan, it's very much worth going to a game, whether it's at the Santiago Bernabeu for Real Madrid, or it's at the Metropolitano for Atletico Madrid. Or if you want something a little bit different, you can go to Vallecas, which is a small little neighborhood and one of the very last of its kind. The stadium is small, it's crumbling, it's falling down, but the fans are brilliant and the atmosphere is brilliant. Actually, a lot of footballers will tell you it's one of their favorite grounds to go to as a visiting side. And there's a lot of magic still associated with this working class neighborhood club. And you still have Getafe in the south as well, which is a little bit different, and Leganés. So there's plenty of football for different types of fans and what they're looking for in terms of they want something really grandiose or something a little bit small that runs the full spectrum. But yeah, it's great. It's definitely a fabric, part of the fabric, I should say, of life and the culture.
Well, to use Semra's phrase, Rob, that's exactly what happened to you. You got sucked in, didn't you, to the footballing vortex in Madrid. But it's not just Real Madrid who you should go and watch, as Rob has been finding out.
Here we go then, £48 return flight from Manchester to Madrid. And we are away! £9.85 for 10 trips on the metro, which is just ridiculous, gets you all around Madrid. Bargain little Airbnb as well, £68 for 2 nights. Stopped in here, it's called Brunch It, for a matcha latte. Tell me that you worked in media in London for 2 years and disappeared up your own backside without actually telling you worked in media in London and disappeared up your own backside. Am I right? £2.85. Oh yeah, if you're going to go to Madrid, go here. It's called Greek and Shop. Pitters were £6 and they were banging. Onto the match. pre-match beer and some sweets, £6.27. You can get tickets for this match for £48. Bernabeu's just one of those bucket list stadiums as well, isn't it? Real won 2-0, seeing Modric close up was quality. So it's in a taxi and luckily off to the Wanda Metropolitana for me. And what a frigging place this is. I'm going to say it. I reckon it's the best stadium that I've ever been to. The match finished 1-1 against Getafe. Sat next to this lad who spoke perfect English and he told me that the fans there, they love Diego Simeone. First. So it's off back to the hotel for me. Another day of football for me tomorrow. Give it a double tap and I'll do a part two. Day two! So after Atleti in La Liga last night, I went to the other end of the scale. A nice little 12 o'clock kick in the Segunda Federación between AD Union Aldave and UD Malhito. Yep, you're going to have to get used to me butchering the pronunciations. Guilty! And I arrived just before kickoff. Now, I was expecting like a little lower league club, but it's actually decent. £8.85 to get in. I love the fact there was a few cameras as well. Look at this lad smashing a lager between updates. AD hadn't won in 2 months. 4-0. Go on, the boys! Then it was back on the metro further north to San Sebastian de los Reyes, SS Reyes and San Fernando. £13 to get in, and what a night for it. Decent little ground again. Now, one of the ends was basically like a load of brand new flats, which was a bit unique. 1-0 win for Sanse. Loving life. Last night in Madrid, luckily, Rayo were at home against Almeria. Now, everyone's been wanging on about Rayo since we got to Madrid, so I thought, I'm going to see what all the fuss is about. People kept calling it old school, which for me is just a euphemism for someone saying it's a bit outdated, a load of pap. But it was decent, to be fair. Now, you have to buy the tickets in person. They don't sell them online. Starts about €15. Smash back some tapas and chat to some locals before kickoff. Match was decent. The atmosphere was actually all right. And Rayo won. Go on! So, all in all, if you're going to Madrid, Atletico, for me, best experience. Rayo is close second, which was lovely.
And for more travel expertise just like that, you can follow Rob on TikTok at RobDidATikTok. Samra, let's just come to you for some reaction straight away. I'm not sure about the matcha latte, just how Madrid that is. But as far as everything else you heard there, he's really nosedived in, hasn't he, our Rob?
He has. The matcha latte, definitely something for tourists. I have to say, we don't really tend to drink. I like them because, you know, I'm not exactly Spanish. I am now, but I mean, I've come from the States. So, but yeah, most Spanish people, they don't drink matcha lattes, I have to say.
I got some looks. I won't lie to you. It's a bit like, you're ordering that. You're the only person that's ordered this week.
Spot the English man.
Yeah, exactly. But I would say the rest of it sounds like he had a grand old time. He got stuck into some really good football, different divisions. And again, you get a different taste of what it's all about because it is very different depending on the level of the football that you're going to watch. And I love that you really enjoyed Rayo Vallecano because for me, they're one of my favorite teams, one of my favorite clubs. They're such a small, humble, enjoyable team to go watch. And like I say, I mean, the ground is one of a kind still left, almost a relic, I have to say, but it does still keep that charm. So
what I loved was going to Atletico and going to see them. And that was just like the snow-capped mountains in the distance. It was just unbelievable. And then you go to Rayo the next day, the club shop, you've got to see it to believe it.
Yep.
It's like something from like the early 90s in England. Like you walk in and it's just what... It's just not what you expect, is it, for a La Liga club? But it's amazing.
Yeah, and I think you kind of glanced over it a little bit. The fact that you actually can't buy tickets online. Yeah. I think it's the only club in the top flight where you're not allowed to do that. You actually have to go stand in line. And it's great because you see the line wrapped around the whole stadium, going down the streets, weaving around the neighborhood, because people, that's how you have to get the tickets. You can't get it any other way. So it is like a proper throwback to another era.
Old school, yeah.
It's so old school. Exactly. And so it's a very different club, very unique, that's for sure. But actually, about the Metropolitano, you may be one of the only few people who really love it. It's a state-of-the-art, world-class stadium. But actually, when Atletico Madrid moved there, a lot of the fans were not happy at all because they felt that it was taking them away from their roots from the other side of town where they used to play at the Vicente Calderón, which was another old school stadium. It was also falling apart and it was really, I think, necessary for them to move to something better, even though they may not agree with that because they were so attached to that particular stadium and also the neighborhood that it was in because they are the working class, let's say, smaller brother of Real Madrid. And so it was a big deal for them to move to the Metropolitano. But actually, it was a stadium that was originally built to be used in the Olympics in 2020 when Madrid were actually bidding to host the games, but they didn't get it in the end. So they needed something to do with it. Atletico Madrid decided they wanted to upgrade themselves and took up residency there. But now everyone seems to enjoy it. But it was definitely a transition because Atletico Madrid loved to be the so-called underdogs, which they can't really say anymore.
The interesting thing about Madrid, and I've been lucky to go to quite a few different places to watch football, but the thing that I enjoyed the most was how friendly all the football fans were.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
We heard
as a
you
tourist,
speaking to that chap next to you. Yeah. Was that just generally your experience everywhere?
Everywhere I went, from the real lower league clubs to go and see SS Reyes and all that kind of stuff, Atletico Madrid, everyone was just dead friendly. And obviously, you can go into those places and you can feel like you stick out like a sore thumb as a tourist and when you turn up. But as soon as you started chatting to people, loads of people spoke English and they were just so happy that there were people there watching their club that had come from a different country. Mm. And it was like so embracing. There's one lad sat next to me who's translating all the chants for me. It was amazing. I was like, go on.
Well, it's good to hear that they're nice and friendly to tourists. But Semra, my question to you is a bit on the rivalry between Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. Mm. And actually, how do people steer between one or the other? By the sounds of what you're saying, by and large, people are Real Madrid fans on the ground in Madrid. So why choose Atletico?
Well, they're very different. That's for starters. Real Madrid are, let's say, they almost feel a sense of entitlement that they have this divine right to always win the Champions League because they're one of the founders of the competition. They've won it more than anybody else. Winning is a way of life and they don't understand it any other way. And so that's just how they are. They're serial champions. They're serial winners. And so that is their mentality, that is their focus. And a lot of the times, it's actually the mental aspect of football that will see them win games and the actual quality of their football that's being played. Atletico Madrid are the opposite. They're always this sort of, let's say, Real Madrid are the white collar, historically speaking, and Atletico Madrid are the blue collar sort of supporters, historically speaking. Things have changed, obviously, in the modern time, but going back in time, that's how it was. And so they were always like, oh, woe is us. We have no money. We can't compete with Real Madrid. We're always the underdogs. It's always so difficult for us. We're always in their shadow. And so the mentality there is also very different. And so I think it kind of depends on what somebody is looking for. If they want to be associated with a club that always wins, or if they like being the smaller sort of underdog type club, you know, so it does attract a lot of different types of people, but obviously within the city itself, historically, depending on where you grew up and what neighborhood you're from, and also who your family supports, that will then in turn determine who you will go on to support. But obviously, Rob mentioned Simeone. Simeone has changed things for Atletico Madrid in the last 10, 11 years that he's been at the club, and he has brought them up to the elite level, and he has very much made them the third biggest club within Spain on a regular basis. And now they are going farther than they have, historically speaking, in various competitions like the Champions League, where they reached the final twice. Unfortunately for them, they faced Real Madrid and lost both times. But yeah, it's something for every, I guess, style and taste, depending on what you're looking for. Is on offer.
Well, for now, let's continue to focus on Real Madrid. In football terms, as Semra's been saying there, they are the most successful team in Spanish history. And we've been speaking with a former president of the football club, Ramon Calderon, has been telling us just what it's like to be the president of a club the size of Real Madrid.
It's an honor, it's a privilege, but also you know that you have a great responsibility because millions of people around the world are watching what you do, the signings you did, the ones you didn't, the coach, if it is the right one or not. Because in this club, to win is a must, is an obligation, is not a success. That is what has built the legend. That's why I think we've got so many titles. There is a lot of pressure from the fans. Take into account that 75% of the people living in Madrid, including myself, weren't born in Madrid. That means that there's no link with the team regionally or locally or as in any other cases like Seville or Barcelona. And that's why many, many players, when they come here, they don't understand that they are bored sometimes. Been incredible players, but they didn't live up to the expectations. is always a big problem to be in that main box. And I always say that when you are there and we win a title or we win a match, of course, we feel joy and happiness, but mainly relief, because you know that you have that people aren't going to blame you about what you did wrong.
Why do you think Real Madrid, specifically in the Champions League, have had so much success in Europe?
We always start that competition knowing that we are going to be the favorites. We helped to build this competition in the 50s, and we've been always knowing the players who come here. They know that is the competition that our fans really like to win. Of course, we know La Liga and the King's Cup are important, but they know that Champions League is our competition in some way. 14 titles is really difficult to do it. And mainly in the way we've done it sometimes. Last year was an example, was unbelievable. I don't know if any other team can do something like that. It's like a miracle in some way, the way to come back when there's everything is finished in theory, but it is not.
I mean, you mentioned there a huge highlight in the Champions League. Ramon, what are your other favorite memories of your time as president of Real Madrid?
Well, fortunately, I have many of successes that we got. Maybe the first Champions League we won when I was in the club in Glasgow. That the volley, Zidane volley, was amazing. We managed to win 2-1 against Bayer Leverkusen. And the first La Liga title, 2006-2007, when I was at the helm of the club, that we won in the last minute. This is a team that is always just fighting until the end. They don't give up, ever.
And how would you describe the rivalry that Real Madrid have with Atletico Madrid and the likes of Barcelona?
I think it's been very important for us and for them. We knew that we needed to be in our best shape in order to beat mainly Barcelona. We have to be honest. It's been the club that has tried always to dispute the titles to Real Madrid. That competitiveness has been, as I said, very, very important for both clubs. And we always have had the best player or the top players of the world. The last period with Messi in Barcelona and Cristiano with Real Madrid was unbelievable, really. To have those players playing in the same league and playing and being rivals was very important. But it's true that Atletico also had a lot of competitiveness with us. We played two Champions League finals and that we won, but they were very, very difficult rivals. And also in La Liga, they have up and downs, but they are always competing very well.
And just finally, obviously, Real Madrid, for you, will make Madrid a very special city. But away from the football, what else do you think makes Madrid such a unique and special city to visit?
This is a very hospitable city. We say that nobody feels foreigner. Because, as I said before, 75% of the people living in Madrid weren't born in Madrid. They came like me. The gastronomy, the restaurants we have are very good, very high level. The hotels, the museums, the parks, the cities, the shops, we have everything here. The nightlife is also very attractive for people who come here to enjoy the holidays or to spend a weekend or long weekend. So I think we are very lucky to live here.
Well, it was great to get some insights from a former president of Real Madrid there in Ramon Calderon. And Samra, we were hearing about some real superstars there, Galacticos, I should say. And I suppose that is what makes Real Madrid so famous worldwide, isn't it? Some of these names that they've brought in, especially over the last sort of 10, 20 years.
The way that Real Madrid like to define themselves is as being Hollywood. So they like to produce blockbuster games and blockbuster shows, and the footballers are the superstars, like you say. They are the Hollywood actors. And so when Florentino Pérez, the current president of Real Madrid, when he took over the club the first time some 20 years ago, that was his idea. He wanted to make Real Madrid a global superstar as a club. And his way of doing so was snapping up the biggest names in world football at the time. So think, for example, David Beckham coming from Manchester United, Luis Figo coming from Barcelona, which, by the way, to this day is still the biggest transfer saga in Spanish football history. Then you have Zinedine Zidane, as we heard from Calderon. That moment, that volley in the Champions League final, will go down in history as one of the best, if not the best, moments in Real Madrid's history in the competition. Until, of course, we fast forward some 12 years later, I think it was, when Sergio Ramos scored in the 92 minutes, 48 seconds, that's what it is, against Atletico Madrid to take the game to extra time. And I cannot even begin to tell you how many people around Madrid, around Spain, even abroad, have that exact time tattooed on their bodies alongside the Champions League trophy with number 10 because they waited for so long for it to happen again. And Zidane was on the bench. He was in the dugout. He was the right-hand man to Carlo Ancelotti. So it was kind of like a nice way for things to come full circle once again. The Galactico, who had produced such a historic moment for the club all those years earlier, well, then he was now the one leading them into doing it once again. So Galacticos don't really exist too much anymore. It belongs to a period of time in the early 2000s, but definitely the idea behind it of the superstars and Real Madrid wanting to attract them to the club, it still very much exists today.
They're just that football team, aren't they? That, you know, when you go abroad, you go somewhere that's miles away from Europe, but you just see Real Madrid shirts everywhere. And you just, I love like the vintage Real Madrid shirts, like Figo on the back and all those kind of players. Like Michael Owen, when Steve McManaman went there, it was like a massive, massive thing. David Beckham, CR7, it's just like, it's just the club, isn't it?
It's so true. I think it doesn't matter if you're walking down, you know, the beach in America or you're somewhere in the middle of Asia, you're bound to see a Real Madrid shirt at some point on those continents.
It's the prestige.
It certainly is. You mentioned there, I think a lot of that is down to this sort of Hollywood era that is now very much part of its DNA. And of course, if you are a big European football fan, you can follow the entire season of both the UEFA Champions League and the Europa League live on Sport 24. And if you've just been or you're planning a trip to Madrid, then we would love to hear any of your travel hints and tips and see your pictures and videos. So do make sure that you get in touch with us on social media. You can follow Sport 24 on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram and use the hashtag MySport24 to get in touch. Now, Rob, you've been busy doing your research. As in every episode, we want to give you, the listener, the best tips about our chosen city, all in one handy list. Whether that be places to grab a pre-match drink, have a bite to eat, or simply somewhere you just have to visit. It's time for our Madrid Tourist Top 5.
Right, I'm going to start with the touristy stuff. I know it's not usually our style, but it's popular for a reason. Do you know what I mean? That's why you've got to go there. And I'm a massive fan of the palace. When the sun's shining, it's an unbelievable place to be. The gardens on the outside are a proper special place as well. A place to, you know, when you go somewhere and you just want to watch the world go by, that is the place to do it. I apologise for this if you were there in probably mid-February this year, because I took my mum and she fell asleep and she was snoring quite loudly. So if you were around there, did anyone report anything, Semra? Any issues? It wasn't on the telly or anything?
No, all good, all good. No worries. I tell you what, there are plenty of other locals who would do the same thing. So she probably fit right in.
Yeah, she was fine. She was okay. So that was number five. This is number four. I am all about the food. We've mentioned this many, many times. But if you get a spare morning, get to a place called Brunch It. Now, you can't miss it because it's one of those places with all the plastic flowers attached to the outside. Do you know what I mean? It's an Instagrammer's paradise and the food is banging as well. I know this is bad. I know this is bad. And Sam, you're going to judge me because there's that many amazing places. But I went there 4 days in a row because I love a routine.
Whoa!
It is that nice.
Come on, Rob. I mean, I'm glad that you found a place that you love, but there's so many delicious places you can go to, and there's such a wide variety of different food types as well as across the Spanish capital. And if you want to actually go to a place where you'll find presidents of football clubs, footballers, then you have to go to Chisto. Chisto is one of the most famous restaurants in Madrid, and it's where all of those guys go. So if you want to see them, if you want to snap a photo, if you want to just get an autograph, that's where you have to go.
Yeah, something tells me we wouldn't see Ramon in the Instagram cafe.
No, probably not. You'll find him in Chisto, I can tell you that.
Samrit, I specialise in doing stuff on a budget. That sounds like it's been more expensive than my flight. But it's okay. Yeah. We move, don't we? At number three, staying with the food, just cause. Get ready for this pronunciation because it's going to sound like I'm a local. Mercado de San Miguel. Have I done well?
Mercado de San Miguel.
That one. Okay, that's
just
the one.
That one.
That's exactly it. It's a bit like a posh food hall. Do you know when you go to those posh food halls? If you're nutty for tapas, that is the place for you. It's got loads of little stores and there's so much food. Do you know when you leave somewhere and you're uncomfortably full?
Yep.
They had to roll you out, didn't
they? That was it. That was basically it.
And make sure you get some vermouth while you're there.
Go on.
Vermouth? Did you not have vermouth while you were there?
No.
It's like one of the national drinks of Spain.
Okay. Cerveza?
Okay. You have your little aperitivo, you have your olives, you have your nice little homemade vermouth. It's great. It's brilliant. And that's a place to do it, actually.
Number two for me, the area of La Latina. There's loads of bars. It's a proper hipster place. Like all the, you know, like all the little independent places that you walk past and you just think, that looks nice, that looks nice, that looks nice. It is that for me. Always back to the food. But number one, if you're a fan of football, I'm going to say it, Atletico Madrid Stadium. I think it is the best stadium that I've ever been to. I loved it that much because it's just outside the city. It sits really high up. We went on a beautiful night and the sun was just setting over the snow-capped mountains in the different distance. And it was one of those stadiums, you know, when you just get there, you just think, this is a next level stadium. Like you go there and it's just, that is a proper footballing experience in 2023. Whereas you go to the next night, you go to Rayo Vallecano. Great, but completely different. Is it unfair to say it's the best stadium, potentially the best stadium in Europe, Samra?
I think you just might be right about that. Maybe Spurs fans will have something else to say. But I would say, yeah, it's a pretty spectacular stadium. And one thing I wanted to ask you, Rob, to see if you did this properly, did you bring a bocata?
Yeah.
Did you bring a bocadillo?
This is the thing. So when we went to Real Madrid, I took my mum, as I mentioned. And at half time, you know, you think, right, I'll go and get some food or something like that. Everyone whipped out sandwiches.
Yep.
It was like everyone had took a packed lunch.
For anyone that doesn't speak Spanish, what have you just said there, Samra?
A sandwich. So people bring, they make their sandwiches or they go to the local bakery and they have it made for them. It's basically bread, a baguette. And then you can have anything you want inside. So you can have jamón serrano, which is like a typical jamón, the ham. That's very traditional for Spain. You can have cheese, you can have tuna, you can have whatever you want. They wrap it up in tin foil and then they take it to the game. If you go to Madrid though, the Real Madrid game, you have to bring sunflower seeds. They're called pipas.
Yes.
And that's what everyone eats. They just sit there and they chew on these sunflower seeds and they spit out the shells. And that's all they do. They sit in silence and watch the game and just eat the sunflower seeds, the pipas. That's the way to do it like a local.
Okay, Samra, well, every episode we do like to provide our listeners with some local lingo. So perhaps we have this episode's word there. So the word for sandwich, bocadillo. I think I'm saying that correctly. One more time from you, Samra, the local.
Well, bravo, Emma. Bocadillo.
Okay, and whilst we're on this...
Or if it's easier, you can say bocata.
Bocata, okay.
No, it's not easier.
A bit easier for me, I think, yeah. A few fewer syllables. Whilst we're on this subject, are there any other words, Samra, that we think we should bring our listeners up to speed with that they can use on the ground in Madrid when they visit?
Yeah, I'll give you two because it's so associated to football. Real Madrid fans are called madridistas and Atletico de Madrid fans are called colchoneros, which means mattress makers.
Where on earth does that come from?
It comes from the history of how they got their colours. It's a little bit of a legend, but they think that all the way back in the turn of the, 20th century, so in the early 1900s, something like that, it was a club that was founded by Basque students from the Basque country. And it had something to do with the colours that they used to actually make the mattresses back then. And I think it was like red and white stripes and... So that's something along those lines. I can't remember the exact story, but it's a story shrouded in myth and it has something to do with that.
Well, there we have it. From Instagrammable cafes to mattress makers, that is Rob's Madrid tourist top five. From football now to another massive sport in Madrid, basketball.
Lucas on the run, goes to Calle. Third of slam. Great floor running by Nicola Calle. It's a great pass by Lucas.
Arlaucas con Sabonis y este con Lasa. Canasta colgándose de Cargol. Termina el encuentro. El Real Madrid es campeón de Europa.
This is over and Real Madrid has taken the trophy from Fenerbahce Dos Istanbul with a fantastic performance of team basketball tonight to become the new EuroLeague champions.
Now, Real Madrid may be known for their footballing prowess, but people can forget that they're actually a multi-sport club, and basketball is another arm of their huge operation. And we're delighted to say that joining us now is a man who won the EuroLeague with Real Madrid, a real legend of the club. It's Joe Arlaucas. Joe, thank you so much for your time. I mean, who better to ask about the basketball scene and living in Madrid? What an experience that must be.
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, obviously the story of Real Madrid goes back decades and decades, I should say. It's had its ups and downs, obviously, like every major club has. I was lucky and unlucky in my stand here to be part of the beginning part of the up, but also the beginning part of the down. So I got to bask in both sides of it. And basketball is a huge thing here. They don't see it as much because it's so, you know, overwhelmed and outshined by the footballers. But you know, it's a pleasure to play here. And you know, I was one of those players that for years when I played in Malaga and I played in Victoria, I was like, there's no way I'll ever go there. I want to win a championship for, you know, a team that doesn't expect to win championships every year. And after about 5 years of doing that, I kind of gave in to the, let's go Madrid and try to win a championship mentality.
What's the best thing about living in Madrid?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you're talking to a guy that played in Madrid for a total of 5 seasons, in Spain for 10 seasons, went back to his home in the States for 10 years. And from about the first 6 months that I was retired and back at home, I was planning my return. So,
wow.
I mean, it was just, you know, I'm an American by passport at this point. I'm an American, you know, for a lot of different things, but I'm more European, more Spanish, and it's because of the time that I spent here and the way of life. The fact that you're sitting out on a terrace having your glass of wine with your tapa and or your beer, whatever your drink of choice is. These days I'm not drinking, so it's, you know, it's water or tea or coffee, but it's just such a laid back, relaxed lifestyle. And the four best countries to me in the world are Portugal, Greece, Italy, and Spain to live in. And it's that Mediterranean lifestyle, which I love so much.
Just love that European continent by the sounds of it. And what a city Madrid is in the centre of that. As you were making the comparisons there between American culture and Spanish culture, what about the difference then between competing in the NBA and EuroLeague? How do the two compare?
Well, I had a little bit more experience in EuroLeague than the NBA, to be honest with you. But it is a different game. You know, I mean, it's becoming more of a player's game here, as the NBA has been for years, where, you know, back in my day, it was a coach's game. You know, the coaches were the bosses of the team. Now it's a little bit different in that aspect. The players have a little more control of things. But, you know, the game itself is different because of the fact that, you know, we have this phrase here, you know, when we work on TV, that every game matters. And it's amazing that, it's the perfect three words for the EuroLeague when you compare it to the NBA. And as far as the fan culture is concerned, it's just, there's just absolutely nothing that compares to it. You have a couple real famous places, you know, now March Madness time in the States, and they're in the Final Four there. But you have, you know, your Dukes, your North Carolinas, your places where it's a, you know, it's a crazy atmosphere, crazy environment to go into, sometimes hostile, but there's nothing like, you know, what it is here. And when I played, and players still continue to say it in today's day and age, it's one of the greatest places to play in. Not just because of the presence of the fans, but also the intelligence of the fans and their basketball knowledge.
Joe, you've lived in Spain for many years. Can you give me a mark out of 10 for my pronunciation of the place where Real Madrid play the games? You ready?
That's not fair.
I can do this. I can do this. You ready? Believe in me, Joe. Believe in me. Palacio Deportes de la Comunidad de Madrid.
Bueno.
Said with a stoke twang.
That's really not bad, although... If you want to simplify that these days, you could just call it the We Think Center.
Okay, yeah, we'll go with that. What's it like to walk out there wearing the jersey of Real Madrid?
You know, I never had any emotional attachment to Real Madrid. As a matter of fact, I disliked them because of the 5 years that I was here playing against them and losing games against them or trying to beat them. And the first day, we tried our jerseys on, it was like I was putting on a responsibility. I was putting on something that you felt like you had to maintain the reputation and the fame that this club has upheld for decades and decades. And it was really a weird feeling. You know, I'll kind of never forget it. Like I said, it wasn't a goal of mine. It wasn't something like you said, you know, when I went to the NBA and I made the NBA and I put my first Sacramento jersey on, I didn't have that same feeling because there wasn't as much history. There wasn't much. And that's coming from a guy who moves from Rochester, New York, and the Sacramento Kings. I don't know if you guys know this, were originally the Rochester Royals. So there was some history there for me, but didn't feel the same for me as when I put on that white jersey the first time.
Joe, just finally, last question from us. If someone was listening to this now and they were going to Madrid for the first time, what one tip would you have for them? Where should they go?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the first thing that pops up in my head is Retiro Park, just because it's, you know, right in the middle of the city and it's a beautiful park to see, and the lake and everything else is absolutely beautiful.
Joe, thank you so much for your time.
Cheers.
Big thanks to former Real Madrid basketballer Joe Lalaucas that we heard from there. And a reminder, the EuroLeague calendar does run from October to May each year, and you can watch the live action on Sport 24. Well, fascinating to get that insight from Joe, who's played basketball for Real Madrid. But for you, Semra, and for you, Rob, having been on the ground in the city, just give us a sense of the gravitas of basketball as a sport and Real Madrid as a team?
Well, Real Madrid are massive, obviously, for football reasons, but they are for basketball reasons too. And it tends to be a club that actually launches a lot of superstars to go to the NBA, which is, of course, the biggest basketball league on the planet. So you have Pau Gasol, Marc Gasol, Ricky Rubio, Sergio Llull, Chato Rodriguez. So many guys have come through either Real Madrid or Estudiantes, which is the other famous local club in the Spanish capital, or even Barcelona. FC Barcelona have a huge basketball team as well. A lot of these guys have come through there to then go on and make a name for themselves in the NBA. And it's, again, a huge source of pride for people in Spain to see one of their own go over to the US and be so successful. And then they come back and they play for the Spanish national team, and they're one of the best teams, at least in the European sense. So it's a much loved sport. It's a much followed sport. If you go to any game, it's pretty much always filled to the rafters. And there's some brilliant fans in terms of the atmosphere that they provide. They're loud, they're noisy, they're going the whole time. And they have such a great time as well. It is a spectacle. Basketball is so very different in Europe as it is compared to the NBA. But again, and you actually pointed this out, Emma, when we were talking off air, the fact that when you go around Madrid, you can actually see a lot of these posters of these guys all around town. It's not just the footballers, but it's also the basketballers as well. They're huge stars. They're huge icons. People look up to them and they follow them actively as well. And I think it's one of the few places in Europe where actually basketball players can earn millions too, so they can make quite a nice living. But it's a lovely sport, I think, for people who want something a little bit different to football and something that they can follow in Spain as well as in the Spanish capital, where they tend to be very successful.
Now, we've spoken about football and basketball, but what else is there to watch in Madrid?
Well, if you like tennis, for example, the Madrid Open is very much a crown jewel of these sports tournaments that are on offer for Madrid, especially not just for locals, but it does attract a lot of people from abroad as well, because you get some of the biggest names in the sports, in the men's game and the women's game to come. And I think it's really a source of pride for Spanish people knowing that Rafa Nadal is the player who has won the most tournaments. He's won 5 at the Madrid Open. And also the place itself is quite unique. It's called La Caja Mágica, which means the magic box. And it's like made of metal, it's clay courts, it's open air, obviously because the weather is great in Madrid for most of the year. So you get plenty of sunshine and warmth. And it attracts a lot of famous people as well. So you'll catch footballers in particular, or actors, or people in the theater or in the cinema worlds, basically big names within Spain. They love to go and to be seen at the Madrid Open as well. So it's definitely a place to go and watch some fantastic tennis, but also to be seen.
Well, let's focus more on the Madrid Open now with tennis journalist Miguel Calleja. Miguel, thank you so much for being with us. I have to say, I'm very jealous of your job. I think you have one of the coolest jobs that are out there, going around the world, reporting on tennis. Plenty of sunshine in there, I'm sure, and incredible sporting cities that you visit. But what is it about Madrid that makes it so special?
Well, as you said, for Madrid, it's incredible to have an event like the Mutua Madrid Open, the real name. And since 2009, we have a combined event with ATP and WTA. So for the city, it's an incredible thing, not just because of the sport, but because of the city itself. We have a lot of things to give to the people, and I think that are 2 weeks that we can have a lot of fun.
You mentioned the posters, Mike. Which faces are we seeing? Who are the big star players that everyone's getting excited about?
Well, obviously, Rafa and Carlitos. Mm-hmm. And from the women's side, we have Iga. We have Kvitova, who won the 3 times, and Badosa also is on the posters.
Yeah, there's some huge names, as you mentioned there, Rafael Nadal and Carlos Alcaraz. And I suppose it's probably because this tournament, it precedes the French Open, doesn't it? So it's a first real chance for tennis fans and the people of Madrid, or if you're visiting Madrid, to come and see some huge names that will then be taking part in the clay court season, as we see in tennis. And do you feel that on the ground? You've mentioned the venue, the Magic Box. Is that quite aptly named? Does it feel quite magical when you're watching tennis there and these big names?
Yeah, the atmosphere in Madrid, it's really good. It's the only time during the year that people from Madrid can see those players live on court. And the atmosphere is always special, not only with the Spanish players, but with the big ones. People love to see Djokovic, Federer when he was playing, or Serena, and the atmosphere is incredible.
You've done an amazing job of painting the picture at the Madrid Open and the tennis. But outside of that in Madrid, and yeah, particularly in the summer when the sun's shining, what else would you recommend to anyone else that's listening to this episode? What do you think is worth visiting when you're in Madrid?
Well, you have to go to Puerta del Sol, even if now there are a lot of works to improve this area. You can go to the Palacio Real, and Retiro. It's a park not as big as Central Park or Hyde Park in London, but it's very beautiful. Of course, you can eat very well.
You can eat very well. Rob's eyes lit up here in the studios. I'm sure many of our listeners as well now have their tummies rumbling. Thank you, Miguel, ever so much for your insight into Madrid as a sporting city, but also on the Madrid Open there, which we're all very excited about. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, a big thanks to tennis journalist Miguel Calleja joining us there, just taking us through the Madrid Open through his eyes and his experiences. It is a joint men's and women's professional tennis tournament held in Madrid, and that does start during early May. Now, Semra, like the football, we've been talking about the basketball as well. When the Madrid Open hits town, it attracts fans far and wide, doesn't it? It sounds pretty seismic.
It does. It does. A lot of people tend to tune in. They can go to physically watch the tennis themselves if they're able to do so. It's nicely situated, La Caja Mágica, in the southern part of the city. And again, as Rob pointed out, public transport is fantastic. So it's very accessible, very easy to get to. And it's a nice day out. And I think also whenever you attract some of the biggest names in the sport, as we said, whether it's in the men's game or the women's game, it definitely helps. And now there's a new star on the rise in Spanish tennis, which is Carlos Alcaraz. He's from Murcia, but they're already saying that he's going to be the next Rafa Nadal. Rafa Nadal is obviously transitioning out of his career, but he has been such an important figure in Spanish society, in Spanish life, that I think they're looking for that next figure in this young player, because he won the US Open in 2022, and I think he's the youngest tennis player ever to have reached the ATP number one ranking, which is where he's been since March of this year. So there's so much hope on him that he can continue to be this next level star that will help to attract crowds, that will help to attract interest in this sport, and also to help attract people come to watch the Madrid Open. But tennis isn't the only thing. You have paddle tennis, which is huge in Spain. I don't think I can understate or overstate just how big of a sport, how popular it is, and everybody loves to play it more than watch it. If you want to participate in something, the Madrid Marathon actually is huge as well. So if you feel like coming and running, you know, 42 kilometers.
It's a shame this is audio only, because Rob's furiously shaking his head here.
No.
Marathon, not your cup of tea.
No.
I tell you what, it's one of the easier ones because it's very flat. So you could do that. You could get involved
in that. And think of all the food and drink at the end,
exactly.
Rob. You're in the right
exactly.
place. Aren't you, to burn some calories?
I'll watch.
That's the rewards.
You'd be able to picture this straight away in your head. The cycling is huge in Spain, isn't it? There's the Vuelta that takes place as well.
Yes, it is very popular. Again, it's more of a niche sport, but people who are really into cycling, they tend to follow the Tour de France, obviously in France, and then they follow the race in Italy. But the one in Spain, the Vuelta, is one of the top three, at least in Europe, whenever it comes to these cycling competitions. So it does draw crowds in local areas whenever people pass through town. Like we said, it starts in Andalusia, in Granada, which is a very beautiful, very picturesque town, and they make their way all across Spain, and depending on the season or the year, it can change, of course, but it always finishes in Madrid, kind of in the same style of whenever they rock up to Paris and they go down the Champs-Élysées and they have this grand entrance where they do the same thing in Madrid too. So there's always a nice turnout whenever it finishes in the Spanish capital. But yes, I would say, again, not one of the most popular sports, but it is very loved in terms of those who do follow it, and it does have quite a nice following too. So,
well, the beauty of this city, speaking to you, Semra, and you, Rob, and the rest of our guests, is that there really does seem to be something for everyone. Now, a huge part of this episode has been football and the focus on what that brings the city. But if you have to leave our listeners with one final recommendation, and it can't be a matcha latte, Rob, what would it be?
I love that this is going to be my reputation now. Like, that's not my world, just to point that out. That was one thing. I think for me, it's just try and enjoy some of the smaller places. So you go to the tourist stuff, it's great, but just getting lost in the streets, for me, it's the perfect city to get lost in, just wander around and find like your new favourite bakery or your new favourite, again, food, I appreciate, but you can get lost in that city and just have an amazing couple of days there.
I completely agree with everything Rob said, but there is one specific thing I want to highlight because it is a must do. Rob, I hope you did this. If you didn't, then it's definitely reason for you to go back again. There is a very, going back to the Bocadillo again, there's a very famous place. It's called Brillante, which means brilliant. So Bar Brillante, it's a very sort of local dive, been around for a very long time. It's across the street from the train station in Atocha, and it's proper old school Spanish. And that's another thing. People love to throw their napkins on the floor and leave things really dirty. And it's all part of the experience whenever you're eating food in Madrid. But they have, which will sound very strange because it's in the middle of a country and it's landlocked, Madrid. But they have these calamari sandwiches that are super famous. And it's very simple. Again, it's just bread. It's calamari. There's nothing else to it. But people love it. Locals love it. And you will find it busy at all hours of the day, all hours of the night. And it is absolutely one of the things you have to do if you go to Madrid. And again, you can do it on a budget, right, Rob?
Well, I think one thing we've learned is, yes, there's a lot of sporting activities that Madrid offers as a city, but there's plenty of food as well to keep your belly full when you're burning off all those calories, whether you're playing sport or enjoying it from the sidelines. Madrid is certainly one of the biggest sporting cities in the world, rich in tradition and history, with some of the world's most legendary arenas and clubs. And don't forget, you can enjoy all of these sporting events in Madrid on Sport 24. From the Madrid Open to the UEFA Champions League and even EuroLeague basketball. Sport 24 connects passengers to those unmissable sporting moments live, whether in the air or at sea. You can view the live schedule by going to sport24live.com for more details. So that just leaves me to say a huge thank you to all of our guests, to Semra Hunter for expertly guiding us through Madrid, particularly with her sandwich recommendations.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, and I hope everyone enjoys their next trip to Madrid.
And to TikToker Rob Adcock for being my travel companion.
Thank you.
We look forward to the next time, so don't forget to subscribe via your podcast provider to hear more of our trips to other sporting cities such as Melbourne. We'll be back soon exploring other destinations, including Miami and Dubai. But for now, you've been listening to me, Emma Saunders, and On Tour with Sport 24. Until next time, safe travels.